Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. These are Jesus' instructions to his 12 disciples as he is about to send them out. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts. No bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. The Gospel of our Lord.
Like Pastor Steve shared, our theme is generosity changes everything, and this actually marks the beginning of our stewardship season. And to begin this thinking about how God's generosity to us changes everything, we wanted to show a little video that gives us a snapshot of how people in Trinity are being affected by this ministry and by God's love and how that's making a change for them. So please watch this video. Oh, Jim's gesturing that we don't have a video. So I guess I better start, but maybe it'll come back later. I don't know. Well, I'll tell you a story instead. When people are feeling pessimistic, they often say the world is getting worse. Everything's falling apart. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. But I was recently watching a commercial that reminded me that sometimes things do get better. It was this kind of beautiful commercial from this company called Viking River Cruises. It was before the show I was watching. And as I was watching this commercial, it shows this kind of cruise ship going through Europe, these beautiful panoramas of a cruise ship going through rivers surrounded by mountains and forests and castles. And then over these beautiful scenes, you hear this voice of a Norwegian man talking about the value of travel. And and this line that this guy is saying kind of stuck up at me. It went like this. He said, "Traveling gives you an experience of other people and other cultures, but it also helps other people experience you. And I think that makes us kinder." Now, hearing this statement, I kind of had two contradictory experiences. The first was thinking about the actual words. What a nice sentiment, you know, meeting people around the world makes us kinder. There can be truth in that, and that's a heartwarming thought. But my other response was sort of thinking about the connections this ad was drawing between two ideas. So think about this with me. Viking ships and kindness. Those two don't really go together if you know your history, do you? I mean, you know, Viking ships are the quintessential image of pillars, right? They're pillagers. The great pillagers of history were the Vikings. And I'm pretty sure the original people who the Vikings were visiting on their cruise ships wouldn't say kindness was the big thing that they noticed from these travelers. So, you know, in a way, going back to do things get better ever, Scandinavian culture has made progress since the days of pillaging and killing, so I guess sometimes things do get better. Speaking of Vikings, you know, this whole kind of medieval feel of swords and knights and axes and kings and queens is really big in pop culture right now. There are a lot of TV shows along these lines. There's kind of a fantasy-based one called Game of Thrones that's very popular. There's another one just called Vikings. There's another one I've been watching called The Last Kingdom, and it's about the Viking invasion of England in about the 900s. And this show is kind of interesting because it shows you not just this clash of armies and peoples, but this real clash of religion and understanding and culture between the Norse religion of the Vikings and Christianity that was already at home among the English. And it's almost kind of funny how it plays off in the show where the English, you know, they have their Jesus who's loving, and they'll be like, "God died for us," they're telling the Vikings. And the Vikings are like, "That's kind of weak. Our God, you know, encourages us to pillage." So kind of a different way of thinking about it. The English would say, "Jesus forgives our sin." And the Vikings would be like, Thor crushes his enemies with a mighty hammer. So Viking religion was not for the faint of heart. It was very different from Christianity. In seminary, I made friends with this Norwegian guy named Øystein, and at one point the seminary invited him to come and talk about his country, his people, his history, Norway's history, and he decided to spend some of his time talking about the conversion of Scandinavia to Christianity, and I wanted to share that story with you because it's an interesting one about the faith really changing a culture. So what happened was there was these Christian missionaries that started to get sent from places like England who were trying to convert the Vikings to Christianity. And the king of Scandinavia at this time was a guy named King Olaf. And King Olaf, rather than just sending these people away or killing the missionaries, was kind of a curious guy. And he said, fine, you can come to me and tell me about Christianity, and I'll listen to your message and think about it. So these guys start sharing about Jesus and what he's about, and he's listening to their message. And after a while, King Olaf starts to be very much enamored with Jesus and drawn to the faith, and he's starting to think about getting baptized. The problem is that these Christian missionaries, they look around at Viking culture and religion, and they saw some pretty brutal stuff that was pretty incompatible with Christianity. For one thing, like I already mentioned, the Vikings were into pillaging. They were also into enslaving their enemies. They also, on the level of religion, practiced human sacrifice. Again, Viking religion was not for the faint of heart. So these Christian missionaries know that King Olaf wants to be baptized, and they'd kind of like to do it, but they say to him eventually, you know, we'd really like to baptize you, but Jesus, this God we're telling you about, is a God of love and mercy and freedom, so you really need to stop enslaving and pillaging and sacrificing people if we're going to baptize you. Well, King Olaf thinks about this, and eventually he stands up and he says, so be it. And the way my friend tells it, on the spot, he outlawed slavery and human sacrifice in that society. And he gets baptized. And back then, it wasn't just an individualistic thing where he was getting baptized. He was their king. And so he said, we are now a Christian nation. And the whole community, the whole country, got baptized. And I share this story because it's one about how the faith, in this really fundamental, important way, changed a community, changed a people, how Christian society or how Christian faith changed a society for the better. I think we all know that embracing an authentic faith in Jesus means change, or at least it should. And I really believe it does. You know, once in a while, the change is dramatic and obvious and quick, like the story I shared, right? A king gets converted, changes the laws, changes everything, changes the society. Sometimes we see this also in people maybe who are really struggling, who have kind of a come-to-Jesus moment. Maybe they're addicted. Maybe they're just going the wrong way. And suddenly, you know, they find Jesus and their life turns around in this huge way. And that's wonderful when it's quick and obvious and things like that. But one of the challenging things is that sometimes Jesus changes things, but the change isn't so obvious or quick. It's like trying to watch a flower bloom. It's happening, but it's happening slowly and subtly, and it's hard to notice. A lot of times, I think, it's one of those things where when we have the faith, especially if we had it a long time, we may not know what we have until it's gone or until we see what it would be like to not have it. I wonder sometimes if that's something we see in modern American society. You know, there's been some studies done recently about culture and religion and things like that, and there's two trends that happen at the same time that's kind of interesting to me. One is this decline in people who are connected to faith, right? We all know this, that people aren't quite as religious as they used to be. And the other at the same time is this rise in people who suffer from serious anxiety and depression. Now, I don't want to be too simplistic and say that the decline in religion is the one only cause for a rise in anxiety and depression. There are probably a variety of factors. But to me, it's interesting that when they ask people, you know, what is driving your depression? There's, again, lots of reasons. But one of the frequent ones that's causing people to be anxious and depressed is that people are saying more and more that they feel hopeless, that they feel that their life doesn't have meaning, that they feel like they don't know if they have any ultimate direction in their lives. You know, think about those things. Hope, meaning, direction, even connection and community. Those are exactly the things that faith throughout history, throughout Christian history, has provided people over the centuries. In the reading from Romans today, St. Paul says, "No one who believes in Jesus will be put to shame." And I think the point is that the faith will make an impact, says St. Paul, even if the impact isn't always obvious. So we're in this stewardship season. We were going to show a video. I don't think we... Do we have it? Let's show it real quickly. Church school? What's so fun about church school?
Well, I get to do art projects with all my friends.
I like coming to church school because crafts and singing.
The sermons, though, are so awesome, and it always feels like home when I'm here. It always feels like I belong here, and I hope other people feel like they belong here, too.
So that's just a little snapshot that gives you some images and little interviews about how faith makes an impact in people's lives. But I want to draw your attention to the little girl and the little boy who talked about how much they like church school. And, you know, this probably feels nice to hear that, right, when we're part of a church. But I think we may look at it and think that's nice, but maybe it's just a little thing. But I want to think with you about how sometimes something like that is not such a little thing. You know, if church is the place where people hear that they have value, that they're loved, that no matter what happens in life, there's meaning to life, there's hope in life, that's not a little thing. You know, as we grow older, all of us will, those kids will someday, we're all going to grow up, and as we grow up, we experience many things. We experience some joys, but also some challenges. We have to make hard decisions, and we start having to define what our life is about. And as all these things happen, the joys and the challenges, we become faced with some basic questions as we get older, which is like, what is my life about? That question of meaning, right? And then from this question comes all kinds of other questions, like, does my life have any worth? Does it have any direction? Is there hope when things aren't turning out? And when things are going in a challenging way, you know, what can I depend on? St. Paul says, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard of? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim to them? And how are they to proclaim unless they are sent? I think the point of that message is that people back then and now are looking for hope and meaning in life. It's one of the basic needs in life. But the thing is, the questions don't necessarily answer themselves in a positive way. God's generous love, we believe as people of faith, is real, but Jesus gives us the responsibility of sharing it. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be focusing on stewardship, and as you ponder your own life, your own generosity, your own giving, whether it's to Trinity or to other things, we're inviting you to maybe shift your focus a little and to think maybe a little differently about what it means to support a ministry. I think a lot of times when we think of support, especially if we're thinking of financial support, our minds immediately go to the issue of budgets. And when we think of budgets, we think of pieces of paper on a spreadsheet that have things like envelopes and flowers and elevator maintenance and lights and snow removal, salary maybe, whatever it is on a budget line item. And look, having a budget like that is important. We need to be responsible and accountable in the way we run our church together. But what I really want to invite you to do is to think even more importantly about the stories, and to notice the stories and to notice the people, stories of how God's generous love has changed lives and is changing lives. As a pastor, I have the privilege of hearing people sometimes share about how their lives are changed by God. I had a member the other week who came in, and he was telling me about, he's someone who struggled for many years with this horrible injury that wouldn't seem to get better. He finally found some help. But he came in just to thank us and me, but really the whole ministry, for the prayers. Because he said when he was in his darkest moments, his worst, most depressing moments, he said he could feel the prayers of the community around him. I think about the stories, if you've been here over the last month and a half, the people from the youth gathering, young people, coming and sharing their stories about how going on a trip, hearing things together, seeing people worship together, has helped them grow as people, has helped them grow closer, has helped them grow closer to God, how that made an impact in their lives. And I was recently at a meeting of the banquet board, and they were kind of doing a report for the ministry throughout that year, and the way they reckoned it, they've served over 20,000 meals in that ministry of serving food, but also providing hospitality and love to people who are often kind of left out. So I guess the point is, if we open our eyes and if we dig a little deeper, we'll discover that God's love is actually changing things all around us, in our own lives and in other people's lives too. So today and in our whole lives, Jesus invites us to open our eyes up to the blessings that are around us, to give thanks for the blessings that we've received, and to figure out ways to give back. Because it is true that God's love, God's generous love, changes everything. Amen.